Welcome to the September 29th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 through 20, and the sermon is entitled, An Honest Spiritual Assessment, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
I'm glad that we can meet in the house of God today. If you have your Bibles, go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 1 is where we're going to look at today, and as you're turning there, I'm going to ask that old question that I ask all the time. Did you come to church expecting something today? Amen. I'm glad you did. I pray that the Lord will speak to you and certainly take me out of that equation. As we think of Isaiah, many of us know Isaiah to be a great prophet, a great man of God, but a man that God used to do a very awesome task, and that task was this: speak to the nation of Israel, speak to the people of Judah, speak to the city of Jerusalem, and bring them back to me. Get them to refocus on me. As Isaiah took on that challenge and what he was to do, it was some very tough judgments that Isaiah had to proclaim. And so today we're going to look a little bit at those judgments and what he was telling the nation of Judah and of the Israelites. But I think that he is probably telling us, you and I, the same thing today. So today you will get 4 points out of a message titled An Honest Spiritual Assessment. An honest spiritual assessment. When we think about getting honest, honestly, we don't like to. We don't like to look at ourselves. We don't like to look at what we're doing or what we're going through. And God forbid if we have to look at our spiritual life and examine it before a holy God. I know the Bible is very clear that none is perfect. And I want you to know that even the one that stands behind the pulpit today is not perfect. But my challenge is this: to follow God the very best that I can. That is faith. That is faith. And so as we look at faith today, and as we look at what that means to us today, we have to deal with the problem of sin. Now, as I have everybody's attention now looking at me, there is probably not one person in this room that still doesn't deal with sin. If you are blessed with the opportunity to not have to deal with sin, make sure you come talk to me after church. I want to meet you. I want to shake your hand. But the problem is this: we cannot let sin infiltrate the church. We must rise above sin because we are holy people and we have a holy God. God gives us the strength to do that. And so today, as we look at Israel and Isaiah and his vision for that nation, I want that to be in the back of your mind. Verse number 2, now this is not part of the reading, but I want to draw your attention to that. God speaks to them as dear children. He says this: I have nourished and brought up children. So God the Father is speaking of the nation of Israel as the people that he loves so much. Now, out of all the kids running around here, I can honestly say today that I love kids. I like to get them wound up and send them back home with you guys. But I love kids. But there are 2 kids in this building that have a special meaning in my life, and their names are Levi and Ethan. They're just a little bit special to me because they are mine. Well, friends, when we confess and claim to be Christians, we belong to the Father. We belong to God Almighty. And I think sometimes we just maybe forget that. But in verse number 2, God says, his children rebelled. His children rebelled. And so what happens when children rebel? Do we throw in the towel and just say, oh, forget about them? No, we do, I think, exactly what God would do. We pursue them with a love of a father, a love of a mother, and try to win them back. As Isaiah talks about the nation of Israel throughout the first 9 verses. Here's the way he describes his children. These are the words that he uses: rebelled, forsaken, turned away backward, revolted, desolate. Do you think God is proud of his children? Absolutely not. It brings to mind me when my kids don't listen to me. That's why I don't have hair. Come on now. Come on, just listen to me. In verse number 5, we get the picture that as they have revolted, the whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. So we get the picture of a body that is very sick and filled with sin. I want you to know today that sin starts in the heart of people. Verse number 4 says this: a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. So what I'm trying to paint for you at the beginning of this sermon is a father, God, who is upset with his children because they have turned their back and they failed to follow and acknowledge him as God. The seed of sin starts in their heart, and it starts in sinful people, and they show no regard for a God who loves them so. And so what does that have to do with us? As Isaiah comes to speak and to call them into repentance and forgiveness, I believe that same message needs to be heard by Christians today. Now, I would love to take this message and throw it out to the world. But I think more importantly, the message needs to be heard inside the church today. Isaiah chapter number 1. Look at verses 10 through 20. God's word reads like this: hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of the fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of the bullocks or of the lambs or of the he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand? To tread my courts. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meaning. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. But listen to this, verse number 16. Wash me, make ye clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Today, as we take and we ask for God's blessing on his word. Now, I know that's a lot. 10 verses is a lot. But I will digest them with 4 points today. As we think of an honest assessment of our spiritual life, I'm not talking about your physical life. I'm not talking about your kids. I'm not talking about anyone connected to you. I'm talking about you. When you do an honest spiritual assessment, the first point or the first thing that you must look at is you must look at sin. Point number 1, look at sin. Isaiah compares the people of God, Judah, to two of the worst cities that are mentioned in this book. We know them as Sodom and Gomorrah. And I think most of us know that story. But those two cities were destroyed, were made ruin by God because of sin of the cities, of the people of the city. And as God destroyed them, He wiped it clean with fire and brimstone. Genesis 19 gives that account if you want to go back and look at it. But those two cities, they were so wicked, not even 10 righteous people could be found. And because 10 could not be found, God was willing to save it if 10 could be found. But 10 righteous people could not be found, and so the cities were destroyed. When I think of that story and it plays over in mind, the question comes to mind, what did that city become? They started out strong, but what did they become? Now, I might be a little biased here, but I think a lot of Clifford Baptist Church. I would consider it a strong church. But we cannot become complacent. We cannot take it for granted. Every person in a pew this morning has a responsibility at Clifford Baptist Church. Because when the city becomes complacent, we ask, what has it become? It lets everything come in. Today, I want you to ask yourself, in a spiritual sense, that same question. What have I become? I can sit here and tell you at the age of 15, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I knelt in an altar. And I think for the first 5 years, though I had some rebelling, they were probably some of the strongest years of my faith. Now I'm just having my 37th birthday. It's been hard to believe. I've been saved for 22 years. And as I penned this sermon out, I had to ask myself the same question. In 22 years, what have I become? My mind took me back to the closeness I had with God, and I wonder some days if I still have that. I wonder if burnout sets in sometimes. You just get burnt out. But let me ask you this. Are we honestly, as Christians, willing to deal with sin? The Bible calls us to seek first the kingdom of God, and an honest spiritual assessment calls us to stare sin at itself, to call it what it is, and even saved Christians can't let it rule in their lives. Just this week, I got a message from a former teenager. I put him in the neighborhood of mid-20s now. And here's what he said. He messaged me and said, "Pastor Jeffrey, I need to talk." And I messaged back, "Go ahead. What do you have? What's on your mind?" He said, "Pastor Jeffrey, I have a sin problem." That little boy ran around, sat in the pew, sang in front of the church, was saved, but he says, "Pastor Jeffrey, I've fallen into sin. Will you pray for me?" I wonder today how many Christians would look at themselves and say, not to Pastor Jeffrey, but to a holy God, "I've got a sin problem. I know I belong to God, but sin is ruling right now." That's what the nation of Israel was called to do. Look at themselves and look at their sin and fix it. Point number two. Verses 11 through 15 give us a lot of rituals, give us a lot of sacrifices. Give us a lot of things that the Israelite people had to do. the Old Testament Christians needed to do. But point number two is this. We need to look at our worship. An honest spiritual assessment looks at worship. Why do we do what we do? Does that make sense? Absolutely. In other words, why did you come to church today? Teenagers this morning, I said, how many of you are glad to be here? And they're glad to be here. And we talked about parents making them come. But I want you to know something. Parents, keep on making them come. Because there became a time that I wanted to come. It came from being drugged to church to wanting to go to church. And there's nothing else on Sunday morning that my family wants to do than other than be here at church. Don't put anything else on my calendar on Sunday morning. Church has it. But we need to look at worship. Is worship that important to you? Is worship that important to your family? Verses number 11 say it best. It says this. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Why are you doing what you are doing? What is the purpose behind the sacrifice? This morning, what is the purpose behind your sacrifice of your Sunday morning? God says in verse number 11, I've had enough and do not delight. In verse number 13, he says, bring no more futile sacrifices. In verse number 14, I want to draw your attention to there. It says, your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me, and I am weary to bear them. Verse number 15 says that God will not hear the prayers. That's how bad it is. Now you say, Pastor Jeffrey, that's a mighty big thought to think that God would never hear my prayer. Well, listen, folks, today I want you to know that I believe that God will hear the prayers of the righteous people. But if you are stuck in sin, God wants you out of that first. God wants you out of that sin first. Call on Him to help you get rid of that sin. And then offer your prayers before God. You see, the people of Judah were devoted to the wicked sin and not to their all-powerful, loving God. He looks at their worship, and what does He do with it? Here's what He does in one simple word. He rejects it. Their worship is rejected because of their sin. This morning, I ask a question. How does God see your worship? In a moment of humor, my singing wasn't very good. I understand that. But I will tell you this. It's the meaning behind the singing, I hope, that counts. The people have made a mockery of God. And God is not happy. They're going through the motions. They're doing what they're supposed to do. But there's something lacking. The matter of the heart. The attitude of the heart is what's lacking. And they're doing all these things because they were taught that's what they're supposed to do. And they were taught that it's the right thing to do. And they were taught that's what they're supposed to do. And as they go through the motions, there's no meaning behind it. Clifford Baptist Church, this morning I want to warn you, do not get caught up in going through the motions. Because it's worthless before God. If you enter in here in the wrong frame of mind, but more importantly, the wrong heart, you will get absolutely nothing from the worship service. Trust me, I've been in some. Today, is our worship true? John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 read like this. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The way that we worship matters to God. The reason that we worship matters to God. The heart behind the worship is what truly matters to God. And so as we do our honest spiritual assessment, we must look at our worship. The third thing is that we must look at needs. There are three of them, and I'm going to hit them rather quickly. The first need in verse number 15, it ends with this. It says, your hands are full of blood. But in verse number 16, it says this. Wash ye, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Point number three, as we look at the needs, the first need is the need of repentance. The need of repentance. The blood was on their hand because they were not doing the things that they were supposed to be doing. They chose to do evil. And because they chose to do evil, they needed to repent. Now listen to me, this is where I need your ears. Repentance is a complete turn from sin. A complete turn from sin. No going back. In my words, this is the way I teach teenagers. If you're not sorry or truly sorry for your sin, then you don't have a repentant heart. If you're not truly sorry for what you've done, it's no need to pray to God. Because you're not truly sorry. You're not repentant of those sins. There's a deep need of repentance, even among Christian people. That sincere regret of sin before a holy God, followed by the strong turn from evil and wickedness. Today, we need to look at our need of repentance. We also need to look at the needs of others. In verse number 17, Isaiah says, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. And turning from the wrong, they must now do right and look at the needs of everybody else. Throughout Scripture, there are two groups of people that Jesus, that God, that they primarily focus on, that you better take care of. What are those two groups of people? Orphans and widows. You better not neglect those that need, that have a need around you. Help those that have a need. Now listen, if you have to pray for 3 years to try to help somebody meet the need, then something's wrong with you. I've met people that says, I don't know if I should help that or do that. I got to pray about it. Absolutely pray about it. But don't take 3 years to pray about it because the need's now. When I meet people or come across people and there's a need, if I can meet that need, I'm going to meet it. I think God expects me to. But the Israelites were turning their back on the orphans and the widows. They were not doing it. They were looking like they were doing the right things by their offerings, but they weren't taking care of the needs of the people. Don't get so caught up in you that your eyes are taken off of everybody else. Jeffrey, that's a message for Jeffrey. All right? That's for me. Don't get caught up in you that you fail to see the needs that surround you. Every single day, I believe God puts people in your path that have needs. The greatest need of salvation through Jesus Christ. Be faithful to meet the needs of others if you can. The third need in verse number 18 is the need of forgiveness. And that sounds like this. Verse number 18. Come now, let us reason together. Thus saith the Lord. Through your sins, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. By changing their ways and being washed and made clean, turning from their evil doing and doing good, trusting and obeying God, forgiveness was for the people, was available for the people. Today, do we need forgiveness? That is a resounding yes. The bloody hands can be forgiven by a holy God. The permanent stain of crimson, The permanent stain of scarlet can be cleansed and purified and made white as snow, according to the Word of God, if we're willing to turn. Today, somebody might need that forgiveness. So we cannot forget to look at the needs within and around us. Point number four, and I'm done. We need to look at obedience. Verses 19 and 20 say this: if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. As we started out talking about verse number 2, we used the word rebel, and we ended in verse number 20 with that same word rebel. Judah, as they came to the end, and as they chose to refuse and they chose to rebel, Judah did not hear this message. And so you know what they received? They received the sword of the Babylonians. They got captured. They were put into captivity to try to shake them and try to change their mind. And still that did not help. But they chose to refuse and to rebel yet again. But I think of a man named Isaiah who just tried to help the people of God see a loving God reaching down at what he wanted. He wanted that faithfulness and obedience. Today, what if Clifford Baptist Church as a whole was obedient to God? What if every person was 100%, not 50%, because 50% is not obedient? What if we were 100% obedient to God? Could I tell you what happened? There would be a joy unspeakable, number one. But this community would be absolutely changed. Absolutely changed if we were obedient. And I would go to say that I know that we reached the world, but there would be more hands and fingers that are reaching the world if we were 100% obedient. There would be more people to rock babies in the nursery if we were 100% obedient. Church, are you ready? I'm done. As a wrap up, point number four. God wants obedience. And it's time that we get honest. I don't want you to rush the altar and pray with a preacher. If you go through the motions, that doesn't mean a thing. I want you to honestly now look at yourself. The four areas that we've talked about. Jeffrey's preached to Jeffrey today. I want you to know that. I've got some areas to work on. But I want you to know this, as we honestly prepare to assess, my wife has reserved lunch at Briar Patch for me. But they can wait. If church does business today, they will have to wait. Don't rush out of here. Don't run out of here. Don't scream for the door. You will get out of that parking lot today, I promise you. Just for a few minutes, can the church look at itself? What do we need to work on? Do you need to look at sin today? Do you need to look at obedience? Do you need to look at the needs and meeting those needs around you? What part of the message strikes you the most today? Honestly, look at yourself and get honest with God today. That's the call for the Christian. The call for the unbeliever is this. Today, if you are here and are not a believer of Jesus Christ, Those stains of sin that cover you are crimson red. There's one thing in this world that can take the stain of blood off of a guilty sinner. And that's a loving Savior. That's a loving Savior that shed His blood to cleanse us and make us whole, to forgive our sins. He died on a cross and rose the third day to give us victory over that sin. Today, church, let's get honest spiritually about what we are doing. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, today I thank You so much. I thank You so much for our church family. I thank You so much for Pastor Mike, Lord, who sets aside a Sunday where others can speak and preach, and I'm so grateful for that. But Lord, today my prayer is this. As we open up a holy word and we talk about a holy God, I pray, Lord, as we look at ourselves, Lord, that You will pull out all the wickedness and make us right before You. That may call somebody to come and hit their knees or pray with a pastor. That may call somebody to come pray for a loved one or a family member. That may call somebody to start meeting the needs, being obedient, answering the call for service. Lord, whatever way, Lord, I pray that You will use this invitation for people to get real with You. Father, have Your way. In Christ's name.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.